Point of View with Phimelo Modine on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
So, this story just really amazes me. It's from the city of Tshwane. A gentleman plants some cabbage and some other things. I saw other things there. I'm not sure if those photographs are of the same garden, but just outside your gate. So in your own property, right? I'm sure many of you are aware that there's a piece of property just outside what would be the perimeter walls of your property, which actually doesn't belong to you. It belongs to a municipality, whatever municipality that you belong to. And in this particular case, we're talking about a Tshwane municipality, and this gentleman was growing some vegetables there. It turns out somebody didn't like that. It must have been a neighbor, and then told the officials at Tshwane. And the police came to have a look. They then told him that this is not legal according to the bylaws of the city. He's got to do something about that vegetable patch, which he was not willing to. There has been a whole follow-up on that story. He's gone to officials where he was supposed to get permission, to try and get permission. The officials then said, no, we don't know what you're talking about. And there's been a bit of a back and forth. It's bizarre to me. It really, really is bizarre. Because there's so many other questions I have about other places in Tshwane that actually need that type of policing. And whether we are seeing that. That happen in the city. So what we've decided to do is, number one, to get a few things clear. What actually the bylaws say about that piece of land, what you are allowed to do with that piece of land or not allowed to do. And if you wanted to do something, what do you need to do to get to do what you actually want to do? So there are processes here, it turns out. And I'm quite curious, did you know that you are only allowed to do certain things on that piece of land? Did you know that? In your own particular district. Did you know that or did you not know that? I'd love to hear from you. 086-000-0959. Did you know that you're not allowed to put a car wash just outside your perimeter walls? Did you know that? Did you know that you're not allowed to be sitting there cutting people's hair? Did you know that? Did you know you're not allowed to be braiding people's hair? Did you know that? Well, I'd love to hear from you. 086-000-0959. Not even Chisanyama. You're not allowed to do that either. Okay, so we've got on the line Jordan Griffiths, who is acting chief of staff in the city of in the office of the executive mayor in Tshwane, on the line with us. We are trying to get hold of, by the way, who we had spoken to. Joe Bankona is the person that we are talking about, the person who actually planted cabbage outside his yard. We're trying to get hold of him. He had agreed to this interview. We at this moment can't get hold of him, but we'll start with Jordan nonetheless. Jordan, thank you so much for your time. Good evening.
Hey, thanks. Sorry, the connection was a little bit sticky there, but yes. Good evening to you. Good evening to the listeners.
No problem at all. So, Jordan, thank you so much for making the time to talk to us. You're from the city of Tshwane. Could you just give us some background info on this particular story? We were scheduled to speak to Joe Bankona. We can't get hold of him right now. Just assist us with what you know about the story.
Sure, no problem. So, I think... let me first start at the very beginning, which is that the city of Tshwane has numerous bylaws that our Tshwane Metro Police Department have to police on a regular basis. In particular, some that relate to public spaces and what's allowed in public spaces. Now, you mentioned a little bit about people's pavements that they have outside their yards. That is a public space. It is land that actually belongs to the city, to the municipality, and it is publicly owned land. It's what is called a road reserve, and it is regulated as to what is allowed to be on that particular space, particularly in terms of the Road Traffic Management Act, but also in terms of the city's own bylaws. Now, in this particular instance, in this particular case, what occurred was that a complaint was received because the gentleman in question, Mr. Nkuna, had planted a series of crops not only on the road reserve outside of his property, but also on a road reserve outside of a city park, such that the plants and the crops had actually grown, making the entire area inaccessible, effectively limiting pedestrian access. And that is problematic.
Hold on, Jordan. You're saying sure. It wasn't only outside of his own perimeter wall. It was included, what else? A park, did you say?
A park, yes. It was including the road reserve outside of a park. But you can imagine the entrance to a park where there would have been a gate. There's all of the land on the pavement there.
Yes.
He planted them all there as well.
So was that prohibiting entrance into the park?
Indeed, yeah. So not only does it limit pedestrian access into the park, but it also limits the pedestrian use of the road reserve. And that's what's important, is that that road reserve is actually a public space. And so what can happen is, there's aspects of liability. Namely, if a person is unable to use the road reserve and they have to walk in the road and they are injured as a result of that, there's a risk for the municipality. But more so, the space is not owned by the resident. That space is not owned by the resident. It's publicly owned land. And so you cannot merely just do what you like on it. That's why we have rules and regulations about what exactly is allowable in these kind of spaces, particularly on road reserves, because if you plant things or you put up obstacles there, it can block the view of motor vehicles, which can, affect their ability to navigate around an area. So it's quite an important matter that these aspects are policed. So in this particular case, Mr. Nkuna had planted some crops, as I indicated, on various locations, and a complaint was received on this, and our CMPD officers were deployed, and they very cordially informed him that this was not allowed, and they gave him what is a verbal warning and asked him to comply. He chose not to do that, and CMPD subsequently returned and issued out a fine, as they would normally do with any form of bylaw infringement. Mr. Nkuna has indicated that he intends to challenge that at the Vulnerable Magistrates Court, which is welcome to do so. But it is very much a routine way in terms of how we police bylaws to make sure that at least, we protect the rights of all citizens in the space. I think what's really alarming is that while I know many people can be frustrated at the fact that this may be particular matters being policed, we're doing this within a broad scale of continuous bylaw enforcement. And what has been a little bit disturbing is that Mr. Kuna himself on social media, if I look at some of his previous social media posts, he's actively talked about grabbing municipal land and using it to sell his crops as well, which is effectively commercializing public-owned land, which is quite disturbing because he's been saying things in the media that he does it for charity, but in fact, if you look at his history on social media, he's been actively encouraging the fact that, he grabs land, is what he says, and uses it to buy crops and sell on to his neighbors. And so this is also a massive challenge because land invasions are a real threat to the rights of citizens in the city. And so we take it also very seriously if people are actively trying to promote the fact that they are grabbing public land. That's broadly the sort of context around this particular matter. I hope I made sense.
Yes, no, you absolutely have. I mean, I'm quite curious about how active you are in other areas. So do you wait for a complaint or are you proactive in policing bylaws?
Yeah, so I mean, there's just a variety of bylaws that are continuously being policed. I mean, illegal dumping is a plague upon the city. We are continuously issuing out notices or even impounding vehicles that are caught illegally dumping. Noise complaints are something that are responded to quite often. The public amenities, behavior and public amenities as well. And this is across the city. I mean, you mentioned a lot about other infringements, car washes and people abusing the road reserve, informal trading that may be taking place in zones that are not marked for informal trading. But TMPD really has their hands full in terms of issuing out contravention notices, which are called a Section 56 notice, which is a type of fine that is issued for against individuals who are violating city bylaws. And indeed, there are just so many different areas and locations that face their own different problems. Building control issues, building sites, this can also be an area where we have police as well. So indeed, we respond to complaints that are received, but obviously there's a level of proactivity as well, which is why TMPD, this particular incident forms part of their broader responsibility.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is that how great are you doing that? Because I can point to many, many examples where I have seen garbage that's been stacking up for months, if not maybe, I would stand to be corrected, but even a year in Mamelodi, Soshanguve. So do you just go around issuing notices and fines and not actually clear up some of these messes? Because I'm trying to understand how one of the things that I'm not clear about, you're going to have to help me out here. Mr. Nkuna says that he went out to go and get permission from, I don't know which official he went to get permission from. That official, and maybe others as well, I'm told there were many other people in the room, kind of scoffed at him and thought he was being ridiculous, right? And so he then sits and says, well, I'm not going to pay the fine because I tried to get permission and everybody scoffed at me.
So, yeah, you raised some really important points. So, for instance, the one thing you've mentioned is illegal dumping. And illegal dumping, we are policing consistently because not only do we have to catch the people that are illegal dumping, but we have to clear those sites as well. And it causes an incredible financial burden. In the last financial year, we spent 30 million rand cleaning up after people. And that's also the challenge, is that with policing behaviors, we should not have to police. People should not be dumping their waste in an open public space. So, you know, we have about 650 to 700 areas which we are routinely trying to clear of illegal dumping. And routinely, there are also sort of, operations that are deployed to catch people when they are illegal dumping, and we try and impound their vehicles. You spoke about Mr. Nkuna and his application process. So this is the frustration, and this is where I think, you know, we need to be truthful about, in fact, what the city offers. The city has actually an adoptive spot policy that was approved by council earlier this year. And we have an entire policy framework whereby an individual can identify a piece of land that they would like to beautify or support the city in maintaining. They have to submit plans about what they're thinking about doing. The city considers that to evaluate, is this land zoned for that type of activity? Is it zoned for residential development? Can it be engaged on? Or is this land not suitable for this type of activity? And then we can enter into an MOU. So there's a very formal process, because when people just do things on public owned land, they are creating risks, not only for themselves, but for the municipality, if there's no kind of formal agreement as to what they are doing. So I think, you know, Mr. Nkuna has tried to frame it as saying there's no way of applying it, but there is, in fact. And unfortunately, and here's the thing, he also knows that this is a road reserve and that, in fact, using it in the manner it's being used is not correct. He knows that because it's actually...
Yeah, but Jordan, you're not answering the question. You're not answering the question. I'm saying to you, he was told... And maybe you need to take a little bit of responsibility here. So you're saying you've gone into his Facebook page and he knows about the bylaws and so on. And I grant you that. But how many other people are very clear about, for instance, adopt a spot policy? And how many other people have actually complied with that? And I'm saying something tells me that there was an intention to comply with whatever policy that you have in the city. And so when a person goes to an official in the city and says, I'm trying to apply for this permission, whatever the permission is, because you've got different terms for different things, right? It is the official's responsibility to explain the process rather than scoff at the person. Now, you're going to have to tell me clearly that nobody scoffed at him, because that's what he says.
Yeah, so, you know, this is part of the challenge, right, in terms of the way in which Mr. Nkuna is framing his type of events and what happened and what he was told. So, let me go to one of his Facebook posts where he unpacked exactly his thoughts on this particular instance, because the language that he uses to describe exactly how he approached it is telling.
So Jordan, that's not how it's going to work. Give me a second here for a minute. You've got plenty of time to explain your position.
Jordan,
it doesn't work that way.
Using that land to plant food.
We're going to have to, Jordan, I'm going to...
And then he subsequently sold it. And so this is fundamentally the challenge. So you're telling me that he wanted to try and comply,
But you're not listening. This is a two-way conversation. It doesn't work like that, Jordan. You're not listening. So... either we're going to have a two-way conversation, or we maybe just, you know, let it go. So are you? No, but you're not listening. You're not. I haven't finished my point. You've got to listen. I'm asking you a very simple question. You can then make your point about how you want to characterize the man. I'm not asking you about his character. I'm saying, and this is a fundamental question, do you have officials in the city who cannot assist an individual who comes in and actually wants to comply? And if your own officials do not know what adopt a spot policy is, if I want to go there, then you've got a bigger problem than Mr. Nkuna.
Team, sorry, the connection cut off there, so I'm not too sure how much of what was said got through.
I want to know if all your officials in the city, forget about us residents, do your officials know what policy applies to what? And if I came to the city and I said I want to comply, will they know what I'm talking about? And can we address that little issue first, please?
Yeah, so I think, you know, as I indicated earlier, the Adopt a Spot policy, when it was approved, we obviously went out publicly and we encouraged people to apply. And we've received numerous applications.
Jordan, I'm asking about your own officials. I'm not asking about outside. I'm seeing your own officials.
Yeah, so the horticultural officials could have easily informed this gentleman about what processes exist. He spoke to the colleagues at TNPD, who are there to indicate and enforce the bylaws, which indicate that you can't change the property of the municipality in any mean or form, and this has gone through a formal process. So, you know, he's asked for an application from TNPD, but in fact it must come from environmental management.
But how would I know that? How would I know that? If I'm just going to the police because somebody told me that I'm doing something illegal, surely your officials should know where to direct me rather than laugh.
So, again, this notion that someone laughed at him is not the collaboration that I have received from the regional commander. He indicated that he sat down with Mr. Nkuna in his office and explained to him the challenges that were in relation to his own in relation to the use of the road reserve. The notion that TNPD laughed or attempted to scoff this off is not the nature of events that have been recited back to me from TNPD, which is my concern about the manner in which Mr. Nkuna is trying to frame this, and that's part and parcel of the challenge. And it seems that in most cases, many in the media and journalists like yourself are happily believing his exact retailing of events.
No, I did ask you to tell us what happened. And I'm asking for clarity. What I'm really not happy with is that as I ask a question, you're deviating from what we are asking you to do. And then you're going somewhere else. I said, just answer the question. You want to tell me about his character. I want to know what happened. So what did happen when he went to try and comply? Then give us that information.
But I think we're missing the point, which is that he hasn't tried to comply.
But he did. But you've just said to me that
he's openly admitted that he wants to challenge the fine.
Jordan,
that's what he's indicated.
Did you not just say to me a second ago that he spoke to an official who set him down?
Yes. He met with the regional TNPD commander. Indeed.
So what was that? What do you call that?
So he met with the regional TNPD commander, who indicated to him that this road reserve is not suitable for the plantations that he had put in place. Yes?
Yes, but what was that? So, the intention of meeting with the official was to do what?
Was to indicate to him that he needs to comply with the bylaw, which is that he actually shouldn't be planting cabbages there because it's not allowed in terms of the manner in which road reserves are used.
Did Mr. Nkuna not take himself to the official and actually ask the official?
Sorry, I think that's what I just said.
No, that's not what you just said. You're saying
he has no intention to comply.
You're saying he has no intention to comply. It contradicts the action.
What I'm saying is that he was verbally advised how that he needs to comply by obviously removing the vegetation because they're blocking access. He chose not to comply. He was subsequently issued with a fine. And now he's chosen that he wants to contest the fine.
Yes, but complying is what, Jordan? If you say to me, I've done something wrong, I do reserve the right to go and ask for further information. And that says to me, you're an individual or a citizen who actually wants to be an upright citizen. Isn't that what it demonstrates?
Let me ask you this question, because it will help. Do you believe people should be able to grab public land?
Well, actually, this is not about land grab, Jordan. And if you want to take it to court and that's your strategy, do that. That's actually not the purpose of this interview. I'm sorry, Jordan. You don't have that right.
I'd like to use the words that he's used to describe his action, which is that he said he grabbed.
Well, he's not here to defend that. I'm not going to have that conversation because we're having a conversation about a patch of cabbage outside this piece of property. And you've actually explained that there's
multiple pieces of property.
Sure.
That's what's important. Outside multiple pieces of property by an individual who has actively bragged about grabbing land and selling the produce of that land.
Percy, you're calling from Johannesburg. Good evening.
Yes, thanks, Ultimi. My view is that, I mean, we've got a lot of municipalities that encourage people to properly or appropriately utilize their pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I mean, you can drive around, the suburbia and see nice gardens where grass is planted, ornamental trees and flowers. But in my view, this is more of a community-driven program, you know, that benefits society and communities. But on the other side, we need to encourage people to utilize those pavements. But this is misleading to say it's a land grab. How do you grab a servitude? And that's misleading. That's wrong. And we should not allow that. I support Mr. Nkuna in this regard, that the vegetables that he has planted there, in fact, we must encourage people, in fact, to plant organic products like vegetation so that they can feed their families and feed the poor in that regard. This is so amazing that we've got councils and municipalities that, you know, this is more of tormenting rather than, you know, building a society that is, objective. Mm.
Thank you very much, Percy, there in Johannesburg. Jordan, so what can you do outside your pavement patch?
So I think what's critically important is that the intention is that the maintenance of the pavement in line with city vitals is what the city expects. And this is obviously the challenge with this particular station is that we have an individual who is planted outside their own house and then planted, and again, he indicates, 100 meters outside of a park on open public road reserve, which hampers access and restricts one's ability to actually effectively use the road reserve. So you need to make sure, number one, that you don't install any kind of barriers or vegetation that are going to in any way hamper access to a public space, because that fundamentally is the first starting point. And secondly, if it is your intention to sort of actively beautify a public space, as I indicated earlier, with us, we have an adopted spot policy. And we're one of the few municipalities that actually has such a policy, which seeks to facilitate a way in which community members can actually engage with the municipality on a formal level on public spaces. Because, as I indicated earlier, these spaces are heavily regulated, not only by city bylaws, but by national legislation as well. You know, a road reserve on a residential area, in a highway, or in a main suburban street has to have a feel, has to look a certain way in order for people to be able to drive carefully and in order for residents to be able to move safely, right? So this is what's critically important. And while there can be frustration at the fact that we have to enforce these bylaws, ultimately, this is the rule of law, because they're trying to make sure that we don't discriminate, that we equally ensure that we protect the rights of all residents. And this is a public space in the end.
What I think,
we have to protect the rights of a public space.
What seems bizarre, Jordan, particularly to me, is the very same laws are not being applied in areas just around Marabastad, for instance. There are many, many areas in Tshwane where we all know that, you know, that's a site that shouldn't be a dump site, and it's been sitting there for a long time. So if you're going to tell us that you have a city that's proactive about these bylaws, why are we not seeing it in other areas?
So I think the reason you're maybe not seeing it in other areas is because we don't have a situation where when someone is being issued with a fine and a contravention notice, they are actively trying to get the media to defend their unlawful behavior, right? And so that's
I don't think of, so. You know, actually,
we,
I think
we,
I think
we, so. We have a situation. Please let me finish. So we have a situation where, you know, our TMP officers are continuously issuing out what we call Section 56 notices. In fact, we track them on a weekly basis to evaluate how many have been issued, how many have been successfully prosecuted, and how many have not been successfully prosecuted, and if there's a need for us to rework or revise the way in which those notices are being issued. But that is fundamentally the problem. I mean, infringements and notices are being issued out all the time, and it is an incredible frustration because we operate in a society where, in many cases, for instance, people have a total disregard for the environment. So we issue out a notice for illegal dumping, we'll fine someone for illegal dumping, and unfortunately, our city bylaws work that we have to fine you repeatedly and then take you to court, and then because of the nature of the infringement, after going to court, you might face a bigger fine or possible criminal sentence. But it is a long process, and so the people continuously push the bounds as we try and police. I mean, Marabastad is a good example. I've joined my colleagues in TMPD on the ground in operations in Marabastad, enforcing a variety of bylaws that pertain to trading licenses, that pertain to the trading areas where people are, that pertain to waste disposal, that pertain to the handling of food and health hygiene. So there's a multitude of notices that are repeatedly being issued on an ongoing basis. But so, I think you're saying, you know, why don't you hear about them all the time? Well, I
no,
mean,
that's
always happening. But what we're not trying to do is we're not trying to, you know, create an environment where, you know, individuals who are receiving fines in line with the city bylaws are trying to make it seem like they're being persecuted, because that is not the case here. It's been a very cordial engagement. An individual has been approached. They've been told, this is not in line with our regulations. Please, can you comply? Chosen not to. A fine has been issued. He wants to go to court to contest it. That's fine. That's within his right. You know, this notion that doesn't happen elsewhere is absurd.
Well, what is not absurd is what I'm asking. And what I'm not asking is about notices. What I'm asking is the city's proactivity in dealing with bylaws. So you're not clearing out the garbage. You're not clearing out the kind of obstructive structures that we see around the city.
I can tell you that in the last year, we've cleared 10,000 illegal dumping sites. 10,000 at a cost of 30 million rand. So we cleared out 10,000 illegal dumping sites. And that's not something we should be doing, because we actually have to clear what other people are doing in the environment, right? So we have to clear their mess, and then we have to find the people who are being prosecuted. I could get the exact numbers, and I can tell you how many people have been issued fines.
So how many more do you still need to clear out, Jordan? Because that is still your responsibility.
So we are monitoring over 700 of these sites all the time. Which, and this is a massive problem, because you're talking about monitoring behavior of individuals who do not have a good regard for the environment. And that's a fundamental failing in society, where people feel that they can continuously dump or pollute their community, which is problematic.
Okay, so give us a sense of...
Well, I could list informal trading licenses.
Yes, so give us those...
violations and various other numbers. I mean, if I'd pre-prepared, I could give you an entire list of the types of notices that are being issued. But what we don't have is, when we issue these notices, we don't have individuals trying to contact, obviously, you know, media and broadcasters like yourself, and then expecting you to then defend unlawful behavior.
Jordan, I think
you found yourself doing.
Well, actually, that's not what I'm doing. I'm saying to you, give us then the information on what your targets are in clearing out those sites and what your plan is. So you keep talking about notices, and I'm saying, can you move beyond that, please, and tell us what your plans are around clearing the city? Because you've then made it very personal about Mr. Nkuna. I'm saying, let's talk about everything else and everybody else in the city who actually needs the kind of bylaws that you're talking about, but needs you to also enforce them.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, as I indicated, for instance, we have continuous weekly operations in the inner city, which polices areas like Marabasta. Now, you might not see them, but they're happening. They get reported on at a weekly basis. We have a war room that sits every Friday, where we get a full readout of all the operations that took place by CMPD, how many notices were issued, and how many were successfully prosecuted, as I indicated earlier. That information is not with me quite now, but it's very easily available to source to evaluate exactly what work is happening. We have our building control units, which make sure that people are building in line with building regulations, right? To make sure that they're not, again, encroaching on road reserves or in any way trying to construct structures that are unsafe. We have our health inspectors who are routinely going to restaurants to evaluate whether or not they're complying with their health licenses. We have our environmental inspectors who are continuously looking to ensure that, you know, levels of air quality are acceptable in industrial areas and that there isn't unnecessary pollution. So we're policing all of these spaces. Now, the problem is that this doesn't seem to be what you want to hear, because you're eager to try and paint it as if we are not doing anything.
Well, it's because I drive around Tshwane, Jordan, and many people know what I'm talking about. I've just pointed out Marabasta. We've just spoken.
Yes, can I ask you a question? Have you ever attempted to report anything formally?
Why would I want to report it? I don't live in the city. Why would I want to do that?
So if you Jordan, you want to report it as an active citizen.
Jordan,
I'm trying to answer you.
Have you tried to report anything? Are you going to give me a chance to respond, or are you just going to keep interjecting?
Sure.
Because actually, the problem here is that instead of dealing with your responsibility, you're busy sitting here telling us about what the media is doing and what the media is not doing. And I've asked you very nicely, tell us then your plans. You're not doing that. You're asking me to report about every single dump site in the city. Hang on a minute. I'm still talking.
Listed.
Jordan, you want us to listen to you? You should also listen to others. You've asked us, you've told us that you've got a proactive plan in the city. And I'm asking you,
indeed,
what's the plan? So you are saying you don't have it in front of you, but it's all very accessible. Why is it that you don't have it, and yet you're the one who's supposed to have the responsibility to give it to us?
Okay. Now, maybe the detail that I provided earlier wasn't sufficient.
No, it wasn't.
Our plan for the city is structured along targeting very problematic geographical areas where TMPD will systematically move right during the course of the week. So there's a set timetable in terms of particular locations that they will police and move from those areas to other areas and then track the level of enforcement or compliance in a particular area. And what we can do then is we're able to source data and evidence in terms of identifying which of the crimes are the most prevalent in particular areas, and then if need be, have a more targeted approach in policing those particular
okay.
bylaw and
I'll tell you what.
So you might find that there's...
I'll tell you what.
You've asked me for the plan. I'm trying to explain it to you. Now you're
Jordan,
not listening to it.
Jordan?
So I'm trying to get an understanding for exactly what you
Jordan,
want.
Jordan, you do need to calm down. I need to ask you to come back. Hang on, Jordan.
Hang on a second.
You need to come back. If you can, get us all that information with the data that is exact so that you can tell us what your targets are. You can tell us how many dump sites you've targeted, when you plan on. Please do that. Gather all that information.
Okay.
We'll give you all the time in the world. Let us know when you're available, and then you can gauge with the people of Tshwane.
That's fantastic. Can we do it again same time tomorrow night? I'll get it all for you there.
Jordan Griffin.
Can we set
us up
an hour?
No, we're not setting up an hour for you, Jordan.
But
unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
Information. I mean, surely you'd
yes.
want to have this detailed discussion.
No, it's not going to be an hour. I'm so sorry about that. Jordan Griffith, Acting Chief of Staff in the Office of the Executive Mayor of Tshwane.
Point of View with Phimelo Modine on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.